Welcome, everyone, to one of the last nights of revival, but revival keeps going, keeps increasing. You don't want to miss him. Don't want to miss him. He has something for you every night. That song just really is still working on me, so Father, I yield myself to you. Take control. You know what your people need to hear tonight. And I'm just a vessel for you to work through, unhindered, unfettered in any way. I surrender myself to you. I yield to you for you to speak forth and do forth what you desire in your people's lives. Just invite you into this meeting. We put the blood of Jesus over everyone, and we destroy the plans of the enemy. And Lord, every person that comes here, that is here tonight, maybe even coming late, will get that touch that they are asking for from you. And we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I just put a reminder up here to put my little prop. Now, I'm not a basketball enthusiast, but this is my little prop here. So I got to put this up. I didn't want to distract during a worship service. And it has a little car on it, too. Actually, in a spirit, I saw when I was getting this message together, the Lord showed me one of those toddler basketball hoop toys, and I thought my grandson had one, but he had one real big, and so I says, well, I'm not going to take that. So I saw this in the dollar store, so, and the Lord has an emphasis with this prop. My title of my message is Slam Dunk. Get that in your spirit. It's time to slam dunk for him. Like I said, I'm not a basketball enthusiast, or whatever they say, enthusiastic person. In fact, I really didn't care about basketball, but Pittsburgh Steelers, another story. So, anyway, actually, this term stood in my spirit because of some things going on in my life, and I said, when I get the chance, I'm going to slam dunk it for him, and going to shake some religious spirits out of those situations too. So slam dunk. Who is ready to make some slam dunks for the Lord? Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to tell you. What do I mean by this? In basketball, it is a type of basketball shot that is performed when the player jumps up in the air, controls the ball above the horizontal plane of the rim. Some of you that aren't into basketball, this is the basketball hoop here. And scores by putting the ball directly. See, I didn't even get in there. They put the ball directly in there. Slam dunk. Now I gotta find the ball. So scores by putting that ball directly through the basket with one or both hands. Now, outside of the basketball world, the meaning of slam dunk really states that it is a sure thing. So you notice, and some of you that watch basketball, you know when they go up, they don't just shoot it from here. They go up and it goes through, and I don't want to miss it again, so I won't. and or an action with guaranteed outcome. So they're going to make sure that it gets in there. And we're going to make sure we cover the time that God presents for us to slam dunk the gospel to people. So, for our purposes for him, a child of God will nail it or slam dunk it for him each time an opportunity comes to minister for him. That's our goal. But you're going to find out what you need so you're always alert when those opportune times come. So we're going to see a video clip right now. Now, this is just a visual about basketball and how just 25 seconds. And it's showing how LeBron James slam dunks the basketball into the hoop. And he's not fooling around. But there's a spiritual side of it. So we want to see that right now.
That's such athletic ability for a big man. Bad pass by Curry, stolen by James. Iguodala's back. And James throws it right down in his face. A thunderous dunk from LeBron James.
Wow. He turned that one over.
James with 10 points.
Okay. I didn't hear that the first one of the times I listened to that clip. Thunderous. Hey, keep that in your spirit. Okay, so you see how he kept his eye on the prize, pushing through the opposition to score for his team. We're pushing through the opposition. Get out of my way, devil. I got things to do. I got to do a slam dunk here. He didn't throw the ball to the basket. He didn't throw it. He ran to the basket. Slam dunked it. He wanted to make sure it's in there to ensure his action produced the guaranteed success he was looking for. In other words, he made sure the ball was going to go through the hoop. And when he saw the opportunity, he made his way through the crowd, focusing on the basket and not allowing himself to be distracted in any way. He meant business. Check yourself out. When you're out and about and you see an opportunity, do you mean business? He was like, don't laugh, because I get these phrases from when I was teaching high school. He was like, white on rice, honey. That's what the young people say. So doesn't the word say to make the most of every opportunity? In Ephesians 5:15-17 through the Amplified, verse 15 says, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, and intelligent people. Making the very most. Are we making the very most of opportunities when we're out and about? Are we, our minds, so busy with what we have to get done? Buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. And Pastor Barbara's been saying it. The darkness is coming, gross darkness, the days are evil. Some of the things that's happening now has never happened before, you know? I can't believe it myself, you know, because as a child, these things weren't happening. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding, grasping what the will of the Lord is. So, how are you going to know what the will of the Lord is? Are you spending time with him? Well, there's the key. Basking in his presence, basking in his glory. So, how does this relate to basking in the glory, his glory? According to vocabulary.com, basking means to take in, receive its worth, or bathe in its goodness. Connecting that with his glory, basking in his glory, is taking the glory in, receiving its worth, and bathing in the goodness of the glory, his glory. Glory is the fullness of God. When God gives his glory, he gives himself. He cannot send himself in pieces, but he gives his all. The one who receives his love also gets his mercy, his holiness, and his strength. The one who receives his mercy also gets his love and all else that is the fullness of God. This is the glory of God, that he gives himself in fullness and never partiality. Those who seek the glory of God must learn that he truly desires to give himself to us, and he wants us to enjoy his fullness. When we bask in his glory, we receive the glory of God, the fullness of God himself. Just like there is training and practice to make slam dunks in basketball, there is a basking in his glory that we need to do to make slam dunks for him. How can we be on point each time for him if we don't take the time to bask in his glory? We are literally fooling ourselves. We're going to miss the boat each time. Walking in the flesh does not score points in the spirit. Even more so, one will not be able to discern in the spirit his opportune time to minister for him. We need to be prepared as we bask in his glory while allowing him to take our hindrances within us and fill us up with him. So as you're basking, you're seeking, you're just, it's like whenever you, I used to sit out in the sun, and I learned later it's the worst thing to do, but I used to want to get a suntan, and I don't suntan easy. So I'm like laying there, and I'm basking in the sun, and I'm receiving it. But as I receive it, I'm soaking it in. So ask yourself, do you bask in his glory? How much time do you spend with him? Think about it. I'm not going to give you a test after this, even though it's a former teacher. No, God is asking you to self-evaluate yourself. And when we spend the time in his presence, are we just there? Or are we soaking that sun in? Are we soaking the sun, his glory? Are we bringing it in? Are we bathing in it? That's where it's at, basking in his glory. And as we go forth, you will see the benefits of that. People will know there is something different about you and will be drawn to you because his glory will be evident on your face and your whole being. Moses' face shone after he spent time with the Lord. And you can find that in Exodus 34, verses 29 to 35. And I'm using the Amplified there. What do I mean, slam dunks for him? You will be so full of him that you will sense opportunities, situations ripe to minister for him. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Sometimes the anointing for airplane ministry comes on because I'm on the airplane quite a bit visiting my parents in Florida. And I was coming back one day and trying to dodge the hurricane, trying to visit my mother. She's in hospice right now. And all my mind was all on this. And I said, no, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm asking you, Lord, what is there someone on this plane or somebody that you want me to talk to? In fact, I've been asking him that quite a bit lately. So a lady comes and sits next to me. This was just last week. Comes and sits next to me. I push those other concerns away. I mean, to the side. Not that I didn't care, but I wanted to make sure that I was listening and sensing opportunity for him. Lady was sitting next to me. This is going to blow you away. She goes, asked me where I was from, and I told her Delaware, and she says, Delaware? She says, I was just looking up Delaware on the internet. I'm like, oh, Lord, you're on to something now. See, I know when he starts setting those kinds of things up. So she was talking about wanting to move to Delaware and all of that. And so I was trying to get the conversation to go over to about the Lord and things like that. So I remember what the Lord said to me, I'm getting ahead of myself, but he said to me, he said, you might know a little bit about different things, but if you surrender to me, then and totally yield to me, I already know what's going on. You might know some things, but you don't know their heart. You don't know their situation. So when I remembered that, I just surrendered myself and I said, Lord, whatever you want to do here, you set this up. And I want to make a slam dunk for you. So that's exactly what happened. You know, our conversation went on and then she said she wanted to go rest her eyes. But she opened her eyes. All of a sudden, the Lord said, watch her. So, so I did. I said, hey, by the way, you know, God really touched her. She just became a widow not too long ago. And, so the Lord is so funny. Him and I just have some really funny times. He does funny things. And, I said, Lord, that was a slam dunk for you. He says, yeah. And he's like, I said, does he have cheerleading clothes on? He was like cheerleading. So anyway, I don't think he had cheerleading clothes on, but we do these kinds of things, you know. Like if I'm not laughing one day or smiling, he'll say stuff to me. So I don't know. There was something that he did the other day, and I'm driving, and I said, Lord, I got to watch because I don't want to get a ticket. You're making me laugh so much here. So I'm disciplining myself to say to him as I go to different places or talk to people to ask the Father to show me what he wants me to do while I'm there. And then I already told you the word that he gave me about surrendering myself and completely letting him speak through me. And he can speak in a fullness to others through you better than you can, because we only know partial information. So to partner with him, we need to bathe or bask in his glory. And that's what the Lord is saying for you, all of you. That kind of jumped off the paper to me. He wants you to partner with him, because every one of you have a place where someone else can't go or see those different people. And when you bask in his presence and you get up for the day and then you say, Lord, what would you like me to do? And you make sure you get yourself out of the way, he will amaze you. He really will. So to partner with him, we need to bathe or bask in his glory and be filled with the fullness of God in order to nail it or slam dunk it for him each time an opportunity presents itself. There are several in the Bible that nailed it for the Lord. Let's review a few of them. There's quite a few, but I just picked just a couple for sampling. Joseph, in Genesis 37 to 50, Joseph told his brothers the dreams from God, and they sold him into slavery as a result of their jealousy. He had gone through many things, from not seeing his family, the incident with Potiphar's wife, and prison before being promoted by Pharaoh. How did he do this? He basked in his glory and looked to him humbly and obedient in all situations. Now look what happened. Who would have known? He didn't even know. He said, I don't understand this. My family sells me into slavery, you know, and then this Potiphar's wife is after me and then lies about me, and I'm put in prison. But God was checking him out, and he was watching, you know, him being obedient and humble and not having offense, not having these other things. And that in the prison is where he learned how to interpret the dream. And that very gift that God gave him was what got him promoted to be all over Egypt. So And he also gave him wisdom because it was days of famine. So he got promoted by Pharaoh to be over Egypt in the time of famine. And Joseph brought God glory in his life and saved people from the severe famine. We look in the book of Job and the person of Job. He obeyed God in the midst of all that happened to him. Now, can you imagine? He lost everything. He even got sicknesses on him. And I know at one point he's like saying, what's up with this God? You know, what's going on here? But as we know from the story, the enemy kept saying to God, if I touch him and everything that he owns, he's going to turn his back on you. But he didn't. He stood his ground. And the Lord said to him, to the enemy, he said, you could take everything that he has, but don't take his life. Pastor Barbara went through that. And some of you have gone through situations where the Lord has spoken and said, because I often wondered, and I know you have too, you have gone through situations and you go, now, what was that all about? Well, the enemy is trying to lure you away from God, and God is allowing that circumstance. But as you're basking in the glory, it doesn't even bother you. By the way, I had a laugh because I thought of Astrid with Boston. And in, by the way, I just have to say, every speaker during this revival has dovetailed into each other's message. And I was like totally like just beside myself. I was telling Deborah, I said, that's another confirmation. That's another confirmation from this morning. And the same with Aaron and Pastor Barbara's message the night before. When he sets this up and he gives you the message, just go with it. Go with it. And when he gives you a message, like, I didn't know, slam dunk. I'm like, I don't know, Lord. And he kept telling me, slam dunk, slam dunk. But go with it and know that as you're working your message, you'll have peace when it's totally completed. And the people will be blessed because he wants to bless you. So back to Job, there's a thing I wanted to say. I said, Lord, it just seems like Basta is the opposite of basking, B-A-S. So I said, could it be if we bask enough in your glory and in your presence, we won't have to say Basta no more? It's just the thought. I think these things, you know. Actually, we're going to be so busy, we don't have time to fool around with saying Basta. We really are. And I had a situation that happened when I went to the office to run off something for an open house. And so here the computer just went, like it was like printing out things that wasn't on my sheet. I said, oh, you want to get me upset? Okay, get out of here. This is just flimsy. Get out. You're not getting me upset. I'll just do something else. So I said, and he went, I said, yeah, keep walking. So Job stayed humble and obedient, and those around him saw how God blessed him in the end, restoring double to him. You notice that? Everybody was watching Joseph. Everybody was what, and everybody's watching you. You're on display whether you like it or not because you said, Lord, here I am. Use me. He says, okay, I will. So they were watching Joseph, and Joseph brought God such glory. Amazing. Same with Job. His friends were going around saying what they were saying. And actually was discouragement. But God said to Job, pray for your friends. And when he put down the offense and put down whatever was trying to come on him, God turned his situation around, and his friends saw how God, they knew it was God because they watched his whole life. They watched him have abundance, lose it, and get double. So this brought God glory as he allowed God to use him. Daniel, look what Daniel went through. Everybody knows a story about Daniel. Daniel preferred to not eat the delicacies of the king, but chose to fast in obedience to God. He was thrown into the lion's den, but stayed true to him, and he brought God glory as he was an example of the God he served. Remember, the king, if I'm remembering correctly, the king served another god. And so when he showed how his God, there was a lot of that going on in the Old Testament, where the prophets of Baal and all these different things where they were worshiping one God, and then the God's chosen vessel was showing how God, what God can do. And in each time, God got the glory. Each time, God wants to use you so he can get the glory through your life. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the vast, I mean, there's so many souls out there. Look what's going on in these catastrophic hurricanes and things going on. And you come with the light of God because you are basking in his glory and his presence, and you come with the light of God on you to touch them. There are so many in the Bible, others in the Bible, that we all know the stories and can highlight the action, their actions, different people, different circumstances. The main theme in all of their stories was their faithfulness to God amidst adverse situations. So an opportunity comes. Are you going to say to God, oh, I can't because this is going on and that's going on? No. He's going to ask you sometimes to make a decision on something, even though you think you shouldn't. So that's coming. It's a testing, because he wants to use you mightily, but he also wants to trust you that when he brings that opportune time, are you going to act on it, even though there may be adverse situations going on in your life? Throughout these people and so many others in the Bible and throughout the ages, those surrounding these chosen ones observe God moving in their lives. It could not be denied that it was God who did the things he did in their lives. Why? Because these and so many more to come chose to bask in his glory and make the most of every opportunity to slam dunk it for him, with Jesus being the ultimate example. I believe I can safely say, and I was starting to see this as I was studying for this message. Just think about this. Every adverse situation in your life is actually a stepping stone or a progression of slam dunks leading to the ultimate slam dunk. Look at Joseph's life. All these different adverse situations, but God was checking out his heart, his attitude, his motives, and he said, okay, I'll move him on. And there's things ahead that we don't know all the intricacies, but as we bask in his presence and in his glory, we're going to know as we're out about. And so these progressions lead to the ultimate slam dunk that brought the Father much glory. And that's what God wants from all of us. He's sending these things your way. He's sending them to you because there's a reason why he wants to send these. Maybe a testing, maybe to show you something, but it's out of his love. And you know what? I used to think about this in my life through the different things. I didn't react like I should because I didn't have a Pastor Barbara. then, and that brought it all together. So, and so I wish that I could have reacted better, but he saw my heart and I repented. I didn't understand all, and that could have been a slam dunk for him. You don't know. But you know, all you have to do is repent. He's such a loving God. And sometimes, you know, he has promised things and given us his word on things. And we think, well, it's going to happen tomorrow. I know it. No, not always. And it might not happen. I've had prophecies for over 20 years. They still haven't come to pass. And I questioned myself, and I thought maybe there was something wrong with me. Maybe I missed it. But no, there's a timing. And are you going to hold on to that? Are you going to say, oh, well, it was 20 years ago, so God didn't forget about what he said. He didn't forget about what he said. But did you? I'm standing on every promise. And little by little, I'm starting to see the clouds forming, and they're starting to come. There's situations going on in my family, and they have ears to hear now before I was mocked and ridiculed. And so anyway, what do? You put down, search your heart, because those that came against you are now going to come to you. And you got to check yourself out. Are you going to remember that? Or are you going to reach out to them and touch them? In conclusion, there are some scriptures to share that stood out to me as I was preparing this message. The Lord's bringing another incident that he wants me to share. I was really spending a lot of time, which me personally, I would like to stay in my house forever and just seek him and watch the angels do what they're doing. And I had to laugh because when I was getting this message together, and from like 1 to 5 o'clock in the morning is really the best time to do your messages because you really hear God. And I just kept hearing this noise downstairs. And I'm like, and I know it was the angels. They're doing something. I said, Lord said, don't mind. The angels are just having fun. Just keep moving forward with the message. But I did. I heard them scurrying something in the kitchen. I don't know what they were doing, but I hear them, and I may see them in the spirit, but some people that come to my house actually see them. So one day, I would like to see them. That's not really what I was going to say, but Lord, you wanted to say that. So I was spending all this time with the Lord, and I had to go. I'm a realtor, and so I went to the office to do phone duty. And I was feeling something different about that day. I don't know. And I was just like, I just felt different. I was in his presence, and then I'm coming out amongst the people. And all of a sudden, there were three situations that I ministered to people, just bam, bam, bam. One lady came to me, and she was telling me about something with her leg, prayed with her. She says, you know what? These doctors don't understand. They're just guessing because they can't tell me what's wrong with my leg, blah, blah, blah. I said, Vicki, forget about it. We pray God touched you. Forget what the doctor says. You know, it just says, forgive the medical people here. You know, it says here it's practicing. They're always practicing. So... So guess God gave them the information, but he has all the information. Then there was two other situations. Somebody came to me and was telling me, can you believe that these people mistreated my mother on her retirement party and blah, blah, blah? I said, look, Teresa, let it go. Just let it go. Don't worry about that. Let it go. And then when there was another situation, which right now I can't remember, but it was I just came in the office and I didn't even do the phones. I was ministering to people in the office, and this was such a joy to me because I go in the office and I say, Lord, here's another day at the phones, and you know, and I have to watch that because I have to be on monitoring what's going on so I'm ready for him to touch people. So, but boy, he blew me away that day. I just like, so anyway. And he's also, Lord, he's reminding me about this other incident. My parents are in Florida in an assisted living facility. And I went to talk to the director of the assisted living facility about my mother, my parents, and we were switching rooms and that. All of a sudden, I just started telling them about the Lord and all this and that. And they're like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, whoa. The Lord just like busted. Not, he didn't bust in, but he just came in and they were attentive. And I have never been able to speak to them about the Lord. So, like I said, slam dunk. And God is so happy. He'll show you he's that cheerleader. He's an encourager. He jumps up and down just like a male cheerleader. Jumps up and down. He didn't have pom-poms, though. Just jumps up and down. Anyway, here are some scriptures to share that stood out to me as I was preparing this message. And in conclusion, I'm going to share these with you. In Exodus 33:18-19, Moses said, I beseech you, show me your glory. And God said in verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you. For I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy and loving kindness on whom I will show mercy and loving kindness. So when we talked back 10 minutes ago, talking about his glory, we're talking about mercy and kindness and love. So here the Lord is saying, Moses said, show me your glory, or I'll pass my goodness before you. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, now this one, I just get excited when he gives me a message and then there's scripture that just goes bong. And however, this is in 2 Corinthians 4:7, however we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from us. Can you really hear that? So we are vessels that possess this treasure. You have a treasure in you. You bask in his glory, bask in his presence. It just encompasses you, and you just feel it, and you go through the day. So we have to be in his basking, not just sitting and looking at the clock and saying, okay, I did my time. No, no. Worship him. Spend time with him. He says, linger in my presence. Do you know, when I really press in and I linger, oh my goodness, I start seeing things. I start understanding things. Things come together. You know, sometimes during a day, like you will, like, why did this happen? What's going on here? You know, your mind's like, you know, but then you go to sleep. This is what I love. And when I can't deal with it, understanding it, and I'm tired, I just go to sleep. And then I wake up, and then when he wants to, or even through the day, he will drop it. It's like, zip, there it is. Like, wait a minute. Yeah, you asked, now the time is for me to show you. And like, sometimes when I'm just waking up, he'll say, you know this and that and this and that? Well, here it is. So That's all the benefits of basking in his presence, basking in his glory. And so, when we look at 2 Corinthians 4:7, that grandeur, exceeding greatness of his, the power, may be shown to be from God and not for ourselves. You know, we're coming in a season where it's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. It's not us. How is that going to happen? Need to bask in his presence, bask in his glory. It's not going to be because you thought it was a good idea. It's not going to come. Remember back 10 minutes ago? Flesh cannot gain points in the spirit. No. Spirit to spirit. John 14:4-5 in the Amplified, verses 4-5, 4 says, I have glorified you down here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Isn't that going to be an awesome time? When everything that he has given us to do, we could say in peace, I did it all. I did everything that you had planned in my life. And that's what Jesus said. And in verse 5, he says, and now, Father, glorify me along with yourself and restore me to such majesty and honor in your presence as I had with you before the world existed. Now, there's these last two just blew me away too, these last two verses, John 17:22. If you read that whole chapter, it's Jesus, it's a prayer that Jesus is saying to God, and it's a beautiful prayer. And part of it is in John 17:22, I have given to them the glory, he's talking about us, and the honor which you have given me, that they may be one, okay, as we are one. So we have to be one, okay, just as God and Jesus and Holy Spirit are all one. That's when he says he blesses the unity of the body. Okay, in first Isaiah 60:1-2, verse 1, I just totally almost fell off the chair with this one. And I said, Lord, this is the scripture that really it's culminating and concluding this message. And after I got it, I got to thinking, Pastor Barbara had it up there for a couple months. Because she's that awesome. And verse 1 is, arise from the depression. Now, this is from the Amplified. Arise. He's saying to you, arise from the depression, prostration, in which circumstances have kept you. Think about it. Have circumstances kept you that you cannot arise? You got to, like he gave me a word this morning. He says, those concerns, put it on a plate and give it to me. And you know what? In my mind, I thought I had done that, but I was going through a lot of things about the hurricane and my mother and my family and all this. And so I didn't realize, I was telling Pastor Barbara that when I got alone with him this afternoon, I still had, it wasn't voices of the enemy or anything, it wasn't spirits, but it was me. Barbara had just kind of like, in her mind, she said, yeah, later on those things. But inside, the soul and the emotions were still carrying it. And he wants us totally free from that. What's some circumstances that's bugging you, just can't let them go? Think about it. Arise. Arise from those things, circumstances that have kept you. Like I said, you could be another Joseph. You could be another Job. You could be another Daniel. You could be any of these people in the Bible. Joseph arose. He wasn't going to go lick his wounds in the whatever that was, a den or wherever he was sold, or even in a prison. And even when he tried to get out of the prison, and when he tried to get out of the prison and tried to talk to the baker and the other person that was in there that he interpreted the dreams, God said, no, you're not getting out that way by man. You're going to get out by my spirit. So he brushed himself off and said, okay, and he sat there another 2 years. God was watching his attitude. He was watching what he, what was it going on within him? Is those circumstances going to keep him in that place rather than moving forward? What has God said in these prophecies here and in the messages through Pastor Barbara? Move forward. Move forward. Leave that behind and move forward. So he wants us to, and it says, shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. If you don't bask in his glory, if you don't bask in his presence, the glory is not going to be on you. You're not going to do anything. And that's just where it is. That's the plain truth. And in verse 2, but God doesn't want you there. He wants to put his fullness in you, over you, saturate you. And verse 2, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you. I'm going to show you something, and the Lord has something to say. This is my little basketball here. And we go, well, I did spend time in the Lord. I wouldn't say I basked in the Lord, but I did spend time in the Lord. So am I going to make it? Nope. Here's an opportunity that came. But when we try to do something, couldn't make it. But whenever a situation comes and we're on it in the spirit, we go, yeah. Just like, you know, I've given you some examples, and we said, yeah, I know you did this, Lord. We're going to be like LeBron James. Slam dunk. The Lord said, my people, I don't want you to miss it. I have opportunities to bring my power through you. Are you going to partner with me? There's so many out there that are crying, where are you, God? Where are you? And I say to you, my people, I want to use each and every one of you. I want you to bring this harvest in. Get before me. Get before me. The hour is not too late, but the hour is moving quickly. Because I cannot bear to see the harvest, the people that are dying without me, that are hurting and been crying out to me. It's time to nail it in the spirit. It's time to slam dunk it for me. I'm there for you, my people. Put aside what easily besets you and press forward to the goal that I have for you. Don't try to figure out why this is happening. Forget about that. I have your life in my hands. Your life and everything that concerns you is in my hands. I want you to leave it in my hands and go forth and get those ones. Get my other children. I cry for them. I need you. Get before me this night so that I can use you, that glory will be shown on you as you go about in this dense darkness that's coming on this earth. and it's already been started. I cannot hold back anymore, my children. I need each and every one of you. You want to know why life doesn't make much sense to you? Some of you feel like there's no purpose. Have you sought me? Have you asked me? Have you come to me? No, you would rather go to your neighbor or your friend. I'm just telling it like it is. You go to them. And I'm standing there ready to give you that answer. I need you. I love you desperately. Not that I don't love you less. But I have a group of people for each one of you. Oh, the excitement that you will have when I use you in the miraculous ways. I heard the testimony, what happened here in this church. This is a church of miracles. I'm ready to bring my glory in such a way here that people will not be able to sit here because there'd be too many people and not enough room. People are hurting. I see their hearts. Will you be that vessel that carries my greatness? Not your greatness, my greatness. And will you give me the glory? The Lord says today that he wants you to come forward if you desire, because he wants to touch you. He wants to touch you in a way that you are like locked arm in arm in partnership with him. He wants to touch you in the way that you will truly bask in his presence and receive his glory and his presence so that he can equip you for the days ahead. Without that, you will not know when the situation is ripe for him to use you to touch people. It's time to get in the prayer closet, my children. It's time to get in the prayer closet like never before. And if you desire him to touch you in these ways, where you have circumstances that you're holding on to and you just said, I've had it, I got to go on. I don't care. I got to go on for him. I got to do his will in my life. He wants to touch you. He wants to bring you forth. In the greatest measure ever. Come forth now.